You notice how Brother Dwight started that prayer off? You know, the Bible teaches us that's what we need to be praying. And he's the only one that I've heard do that. But I'm going to say this, honestly. I've been doing it for over a year now. Try to start my prayer off, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." I'm looking forward to it. Now, I want you to pray for me tonight that I may give you the scripture and the things that I need to say. I don't know. I leave everything to the Lord, and if he don't give us something, we don't get nothing. And if I turn it over to the Lord, I know everything's going to be all right. He's never left me out on a limb yet. But the Lord's been a blessing us for many years now. Not that I can preach, and I don't guess I preach like anybody else. Paul didn't preach like nobody else, and Brother Wynn don't preach like nobody else. I've seen some try to copy somebody, but I've never tried that either. It don't work. We have to preach our own way and the way the Lord wants us to preach. And so regardless of what we do, don't try to copy nobody else. We're all trying to strive for the same thing. We're working for the same one. And the blessed assurance is that we're working with God. You ever think about that? We're working together, and also we're working with God. And so let's do whatever we can to win as many souls as we possibly can to the Lord. Now, you pray real hard, and I'll give you this. I'm going to try this to remember. Sometimes I don't remember like I need to, and I see it. Sometimes I can quote scripture up one side down the other, and there again, I can't even say John 3:16 and get it wrong. But anyway, you just pray that the Lord may use us here a few minutes for his honor and glory. Now, it's been many years since I've been able to come to this church like I really wanted to. You know, the hardest thing I had when I surrendered to preach is to leave my home church. That's the hardest thing I've done. And quit some things that I was doing that satisfies the flesh. You have to quit some things. You have to be an example. And I hope for the last 50 years, close 50 years since I've been gone from here, I hope that I've laid an example down for somebody that they can want to pattern their life after this old ungodly, saved by grace sinner. I just hope that I've laid some foundations for somebody. And every now and then somebody will come up and hug your neck and say, "I got saved over yonder at a certain place the night that you was preaching. It wasn't me. It was God that saved them. But he chose through the preaching the word to save them's lost." Now, I'm going to read two verses, I believe, all I'm going to read tonight. And as we'll just go from there. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. This is kind of, I'm going to, title is just kind of odd, and I've never even thought about preaching something on something like this and in a way like this, but that's the way the Lord said do it, and I'm going to do it. It says in the 13th verse, "I can do all things through Christ Jesus which strengthen me." Does anybody in the house really believe that? Do you really believe that? All right, I'm going to read another one. The 19th verse. And I'll tell you the reason I'm reading these verses just in a minute. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, there's two verses that I've quoted many of a time. There's two verses that I believe with all my heart, soul, and life. Now, the reason I read them tonight, so that I can get you on track what I'm going to preach. Now, how many in here? I know everybody's got televisions. Most of you got two or three or four in your house. But way back yonder, they had a program. And I woke up thinking about this morning. That's way before Brother Wing called me. The name of that program was Mission Impossible. Everybody remember that one? Now, I don't know why they named that Mission Impossible. I don't know that. Because they had, I don't know, it's been for such a long time since I seen it. It's been so long, such a long time since I seen it that I don't remember how many they had. But every one of them had a different job. And they sent them out to conquer people, to run people down, and do this job that they called a Mission Impossible. And when they went out, what did they do? They always accomplished what they went out for. I never did see them fail in that program. That's the reason I never didn't understand why that they ever named it Mission Impossible. Now, we're going to look into the Word just a minute and see some missions that was impossible, that we'll call impossible. And let's look back over, first of all, at Moses. Moses was a man of 40 and 40 and 40. He lived in Egypt 40 years. He had to run away because of what? Because of his stand for the glory and honor of the Lord. And then after that 40 years over there in the backside of the desert, God come to him in a burning bush. And I ain't going to go all through all this because it takes too long. But I'm just going to hit the highlights so you understand what I'm trying to preach tonight. God come to him and said, I've got a mission for you to do. Now, the reason I read to you these two verses here, that nothing is possible with man without the Lord Jesus Christ. We can try everything, we can do everything. Man's tried it from time, even Adam and Eve tried it in the Garden of Eden. To try to take over this mission and to do this mission of trying to get themselves back to glorify God and to fellowship with their Lord. But it didn't work. They sowed leaves together. They covered their nakedness. They done all they could do, which was impossible. This is a mission that was impossible with man. But God come along and killed a ram and shed the blood, the type and the shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ, that man might be redeemed back to that holy state that Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden. Now, God come to Moses and said, I've got a mission for you. He said, I want you to go back over to Egypt. I want you to go back over to Egypt. How do you reckon he failed? You ever like to face your enemies? You ever have to go up to somebody and say, I'm sorry? The hardest thing I've ever done is walk up to somebody and say, I'm sorry and I've done you wrong. Have you ever done it? Yeah, I've done it. I don't know any of us. I don't have to do something like that, but most of the time we'll offend somebody or think we offend somebody, or if he didn't think it. And I've had people holding things against me and I didn't even know they was holding against me. That's a bad mission. But they ain't nobody can correct it, and man can't correct it. It takes the Lord Jesus to correct our mission and to direct our mission. Now, Moses could have said, I'll go. And he went halfway and turned around and went back to another direction and knew all his things. That's the way a man would have went. But God instructed him and gave him his orders before he left. Now, old Moses was happy with that, wasn't he? No, he wasn't, was he? We'll try to do everything we can. He said, I'll do this and I'll do that. When I stood with my daddy when he died, Lord, I'll do this and I'll do that. And if it lived, I probably wouldn't have done either one of them. Promise the Lord I'd preach if he'd do it. I know the Lord has called me to preach before that my daddy died, but I never did tell him. Lord had a mission for me. And Moses had a mission. And God said, I want you to go back over to Egypt. And said, I want you to, one man. I'd hate to try that one man, wouldn't you? With an army like Egypt had. Said, I want you to go over there and leave my people out there. Why, Moses said, I can't do that. He told the truth. He couldn't. As a young preacher come to me one time and said, I believe the Lord's called me to preach. And said, I just can't do it. You know, I told him. I said, I know it. You can't. But by the help of the Lord, you can do all things. And if he's wanting you to preach, he'll take care of that situation. You just surrender to him and let him do what he wants to do with you. And that'll take care of that problem. And so Moses, he finally led in. He went back to Egypt. And you know, all excuses he had, he didn't have no good speaking. He wasn't eloquent enough. He couldn't do this and couldn't do that. How many excuses you made today? And I'm going to say this. God tried to put you on a mission today and you didn't do it. You just like old Moses, I can't do that. They won't listen to me. I ain't got time to go today. No how I'll go tomorrow. And if I had asked you to raise your hand, if you'd really be honest, I'm going to say that you'd have to raise your hand tonight. That God tried to put you on a mission and you wouldn't go. I ain't telling you that I ever really give the Lord an easy time. He's sending me different places. He wanted to send me different places. Sometimes I didn't go. I wouldn't accomplish that mission. That mission was too impossible, I thought. And it was within me. But through and by the Lord Jesus Christ, I have never went on a mission whenever he said go. That he let me down. Yeah, never. No, sir. Never did. In the past 45 years of preaching, I have never been let down by the Lord Jesus. But I want to say this. I've tried it many of a time on my own. I've tried that mission on my own. I didn't have the equipment to work with. Like at Impossible, Mission Impossible, they had the equipment. They had cars, they had different kinds of things. I thought about that. God, I just got through reading it. God will supply every need, whatever it is, on your mission to do the work of the Lord and accomplish what he pleases and not what you please. That's as simple as it can be, ain't it? I didn't know what the Lord had in this for us, but I'll tell you one thing. It burnt my eye to preaching this morning. And I don't remember exactly what all I preached. I don't remember sometime. Mama come down in, what was you saying? I don't know. I just closed my eyes and I start dreaming. Some of it ain't worth nothing. Maybe some of it is. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong. But anyway, Moses went over there. He followed the Lord. He done what the Lord said. And he accomplished his mission. He brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now, was it an easy time? Did Moses have it easy? God said we'd all, if we live godly, we're going to suffer persecution. How much you have today? Just listen. How much have you had today? If you ain't had none, I'm going to say it. Don't bother me none to say it. You ain't done much. If you do a lot, you're going to suffer a lot. If you do a little, you'll suffer a little. If you don't do nothing, you ain't going to suffer none. But God's got a mission for every one of us. You may win somebody to the Lord that I don't even know, that I may know well maybe. And I've around them all the time. I may not be able to win them to the Lord. But you may be the one that the Lord wants to go on that mission. Let me give you this. I may preach longer than I was going to preach. When I first went to Zion Hill Church, we started having prayer meetings at homes. We had it Wednesday nights. And then had it, I believe it was on Friday night, didn't it? That we had them prayer meetings. This Thursday or Friday night. And just asked somebody, said, well, who wants it in their home? They'd speak right up. We had a lost man. He'd come to church. He'd get out and cry like a baby. Trying to get enough faith to put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the time I was down there, he never did get saved. And he won't pray in his home. We had at least once a month in his home. He'd get out in the floor of the house and cry like a baby and call upon the Lord. But he never did give his heart to the Lord. We was down there on a mission. We was down there preaching the word. We was out visiting. We was out trying to win souls, visiting to the older people, the younger people, those that won't go to church. And we're trying to do the work of the Lord. And on the mission. But I never could to get him to understand. And I ran him all the time. He was a good friend of mine too. When I left down there, I believe I stayed down there 9.5 years, didn't I? Stayed down there 9.5 years. And I left down there. And that's when roses first come into bloom. Sometime after that. Probably 10 years after that. Something like that. I was walking through roses one, went in there and walking up the aisle, that man seen me. And I seen him, recognize me, know who he was, because I'd been in his home many, many times. Suddenly come down that aisle, a fly, grabbed me around the neck and praised the Lord and said, the Lord saved a soul. That's the reason I say this. We're all on a mission. The ones that I can't get to, you might get to. The one that you can't get to, I might get to if I'll accomplish my mission in the Lord. Now, if we do it our way, we'll never reach nobody. We've got to go the way the word of the Lord said. Moses could win any other way, and he'd have never brought the children of Israel out. But he listened to what God said, he done what God said, and accomplished his mission. Amen. Now, he done and went as far as he could go. Moses went as far as he could go. Spent 120 years old, and it's about over with far. Sometimes I feel like it's about over with me. But you know something? I told Brother Wynn this morning. It's amazing what the Lord will do if you just trust him. It's amazing what the Lord will do if you just trust him. A preacher that's been a preacher for all these years, he desires a place to preach. Now, I'm going to say it. You desire a place to preach. I had an old brother, Bible Trippett. He used to go around and visit churches. Sometimes people would ask him to preach, and I talked to him a lot. He said, nobody don't want me no more. And I thought about him many, many of the time. But I was praying to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I said, that's when I went first going out to preach. I said, you, Lord, are big enough to call me to preach. If you're big enough to call me to preach, you can give me a place to preach. I said, pastor church in the summer's around a month's time. That's when I got ready to go. But I was like old Moses to start with. I surrendered to preaching, run 2 more years, wouldn't even go visit the church. But now, after that, I've seen the gracious grace of God. There's a desire in there, like old, I believe it's Jeremiah. It's something in there burning all the time to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a desire there that I don't never want to get rid of, because I love my Lord. But you desire to go preach. In the last week, I've been saying, Lord, I said, I need to go preach somewhere. I just need to go preach. The first thing I thought about was Brother Wheaton called me this morning. There the Lord is. You can get. Woo! You think he ain't right? You think he won't do what he said to do? Yeah, he'll do. I'll never put him to the test again unless it worked. I ain't here just because Brother Wheaton called me. I'm here because the Lord said it. Amen. I love to preach the word of the Lord. I love to see people saved. I love to see people rejoice. I love to see people shout. Brother Dale, I appreciate you singing them 2 songs you sung tonight. I believe it's back in 1956. And I sat there with you, your daddy and Brother Conley down here. And I believe Brother Ray was still living at that time. And may not have been, because I didn't get on that bank when Brother Ray died. He might have sung them something. I don't know. But anyway, your grandpa sent me on that bank. Get the song started to where I stick your head down my ear to be on the right tune to sing again. He said, I won't get it. I said, you teach me singing, I'll get it. I'm going to say this. If the Lord gives you one talent, he'll give you another. He calls preachers, but he also gives talents too if we want. And I've prayed many of a time. I love good music. I love to play. Well, I can't play much, but I like to try. I love that. And I asked the Lord, I said, if I hear somebody playing something and really getting with it, I said, Lord, if they don't want to play and sing for you, I said, you wouldn't just give that to me. I love that. I got one daughter that loves to play. I got one daughter that don't care what you play or not. And both of them are real talented. Let me just tell you that. I told you I didn't want to preach the Lord. They and me and I, we're just old home folks, and we'll just stay long as we have to. I got 2 little girls, one of them got saved with the new church. And she got saved true. I believe it was a new church she got saved right along in there. Some of the churches got saved through here. And I got to doubting, you know how you do. Wonder whether they've been born again or not. I still worry about it. But both my grandchildren claim to be saved. My son-in-law claim to be saved. But if you don't see as much fruit as you want to see, sometimes you can doubt much. But I'm going to tell you what happened. I ain't taking no. I don't know what you call it. Trying to build myself. I ain't never done that. But I've loved the Lord a long time. And I don't even worry Mama knows this as well. I don't know why I ever even told her or not. I don't know. But when my girl was born, quick as I got them home, took them and laid down in bed, each one of them. I got down on my knees. I said, now, Lord, you give them to me. I'm giving them back to you. And I meant that. And the Lord give them, both of them, a talent. One used it, one of them don't. I want you to pray for the one that don't and one who used it too. I want you to pray for both of them. And both of my grandchildren. After they got saved, I got down on my knees. I didn't have them with me. But I said, Lord, I'm giving them back to you. They're yours. You blessed me with them. And the Lord has blessed me with them. Yeah, I got a little off. But I hope that whatever I've said tonight and will say will be a blessing to you and encourage you to put your trust. And when the God moves on your heart and puts you on mission, don't turn around and go back the other way. I've seen that happen too. And I'm going to say it. I've seen some early graves in 45 years. You think he won't? You think he won't take you quicker than you ought to be took? I've seen him took. And I believe they got took sooner than they wanted to be took. And they needed to have been took. You know why? Because they wouldn't fill their mission that the Lord had for them. Well, I'm just about done. I ain't even got to. There's many people in the Bible that you don't go with this. Let me finish up on Joshua. Moses got down here and he said, I'm going to die. God told him, he said, you ain't going to be able to go over to the promised land. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. This is a gracious God. He said, I'm going to let you look over there. I'm going to let you look. I'm going to let you look where you brought these children to. You think about walking down the streets of gold and see somebody in the name of the Lord. Whoo, boy, it'd be good, wouldn't it? You know there's crowns for that for some of them. They are. But Moses said, I can't go over in. And God said, I ain't going to let you go over. And you know God took him. He said he buried him. Nobody don't know where. But he gives somebody else some instructions. He gave old Joshua instructions. He said, now I'm not going to get to take them over in there. I'm not going to get to take them over into the promised land. You know, if they had, you know what we'd have to preach? Let me just throw this in extra. You know what we'd have to preach? We'd have to preach the law and keeping the law and get you to heaven. Think about that now. If Moses would have had God to take them over, Moses was the type of God. And Joshua is the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you look for types and shadows in the Bible? Just think about it. And so Moses gave Joshua the instructions. And you remember Joshua walked out there. The first thing he wanted to test out our God. Laid that rod out over it. It wasn't a big city. Old Jordan. Laid that rod out over Jordan. That water is here to go to promise. Where did he take him to? Delivered him to the promised land. Even before the foundation of the world, even before it was ever created, it was already in the making. They didn't plan this out. It was already in the making that Jesus Christ the Son would make a way to let us cross over in and get out of the sinful, cursed earth that we're in. And to buy back everything that Adam and Eve lost in Garden of Eden. They lost three of them. Body, soul, and earth. And when God saves your soul, if this is clean and pure, it'll be a million years from now. There ain't nothing else have to be done, did it? But you're still in the body. You're still in this old sinful body. That leads you the other way rather than the way that God made me and put you in a mission work. He's leading you the other direction, that old fleshly part. But when the rapture of the church takes place, this old body gets changed. And it's going to be just exactly like another Christ. And it's going to be without sin. And there's one more thing. On the cross, he died for all three of them at the same time. But each one of them has been redeemed at every time. The soul got saved. The body, the rapture of the church, is going to be changed the moment we went for high. And then with them which are dead in life, or dead in Christ, shall rise first, and then which are alive and made to be caught to the Lord the hour, and so shall we ever be the Lord. One more thing. After the rapture, he's going to redeem this earth back. It's already been paid for. And you know we're going to come back here for 1,000 years and walk up and down these shores here of Galilee, up on this earth, and I don't know what all. I remember Preacher Carl Wilson preaching one time. He said he might be here, Mayor of Boone. I don't know. He may be the President of the United States. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to be. I can't. The fella asked me one time, said, what do you think of this? I said, don't make no difference what I think. I said, what I can prove by the word of the Lord is true, and what I think ain't nothing at it. I may think a lot of things, and we have our mind running. But when that earth is redeemed, we're going to come back, and we're going to rule and reign with Christ Jesus 1,000 years on this earth. I don't know why I got in that. In other words, I'm just trying to tell you, like Joshua took them over in the land of Canaan, Jesus Christ is going to make sure that we land in the holy place that he promised us. I've gone to the prior place for you, and if I go to the prior place for you, I'll come again and see the other myself for where I am, and I know you may be also. We'll never depart from it. So them's three things that God redeemed. Now, I'm going to go with some more people. But Joshua, he done the work, which is the type of Christ, took them across and divided their inheritance. That's exactly the way the Lord Jesus is going to do us. Now, back to the subject. Mission impossible. If it had been any way that we could got to heaven without Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, having to come and die like he did, Jesus Christ would have never had went there if we could have fulfilled that mission, but we couldn't do that. Only God was able to fulfill that mission. Now, how did he get his mission fulfilled? And I'm going to quit. How did he get his mission fulfilled? He gets his mission fulfilled like they sent those out on that television program. Sent them out to do the work and sent them with the equipment to need to accomplish that mission. That's the reason I say, I don't know why they ever named that. Mission impossible. Because they are every time they got the work done. Now, the way God gets the mission work done is me and you. Read the word. Is me and you. We're the ones that accomplish and helps him accomplish that mission. I should have looked at that so I can remember that. He's in Galatians. He said we're laborers together with God. We're working with God to fulfill the mission that he sent us on. Now, to accomplish that mission, we've got to do what he says. We'll never get accomplished no other way. Now, I'm going to throw this in next year. I'm quitting. Our churches is dried up. The biggest majority of the churches is dried up. Why? Because the mission that God put them on is man-made. They've changed the word. They're doing everything that they ought to be doing. I preached a message one time up on the bypass. I said, what are we going to name the church? You've got recreation in it. You've got ball games in it. You've got movie shows and all, burlesque shows and all kinds of junk. They don't have no burlesque. I've seen them myself. When you go to the house of God and see half women naked, that's a burlesque show, I call it. I'm just throwing this in extra, but I won't throw in enough to make you mad. Or make you love me a lot more. One or the other. It's going to be one or the other. There ain't no in-betweens on this. But the mission God has got, He wants it done His way. And we got quite a few elder people in here. And I don't believe we're living on yesterday either. We've got to have what we got to have today. But we got a lot of elder people in here. How many has ever heard people shout in church? We've got a lot of young people heard that. Did you feel like it's real or just a mockery? No, I'm not trying to be honest. I've been a few times I wanted to join in, but I couldn't. I know what was going on, but I couldn't join in. You know why? Because I just had a little pride again. But if I can get loose, I won't help. When some of us are growing up and shouting on it once in a while, just don't hear. I'd never said in church nothing in church a long time. Jump up and just pull that lift off to the world. But you know something? The people of God, there's something running through you just like a sweet lightning. And then all of a sudden, tears start running down your cheek. Wouldn't you love to get back to something like that? Yeah. But now we can't live on backwards. Start looking backwards. They ain't going to hit you either. That's a good marriage. Let's look forward and get our eyes toward the mark of the prize of the high call, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you know something? We might get to a place where we can shout a little bit once in a while. We might be able to run down the aisle once in a while. Why, that'd be crazy. It would to the world. I see them in the Bible. I read about them in the Bible getting a shout and praise unto the Lord. Any old lady come down through town and dances one time. Who got mad at him? Solomon Dahmer. The world. Don't matter if what the world says about you. Put your mind and heart upon the Lord and get to worry about what the Lord has got to say to you. At work, He wants you on mission. It may be outside this door here. It may be in here. I don't know.
I'm gonna quit. I give you some more if you want, but I guess that's enough for tonight. I don't want to bore you. I have been, places where that I got bored. They preached it 3 or 4 times and quit. Or started quit and then preached again. I got tired.
And I got to say, well, I went to that preacher church and I saw him go, oh, you ain't never done that. I know, I just